Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're diving into ABS injection molding. Whether you're prepping for a meeting or just curious about how everyday plastics are made, we'll break it down. You've given us tons of articles and notes, and we're going to find the coolest stuff. Like, did you know those ABS pellets need to be dried at like 80 to 100 degrees Celsius for hours before molding?
Yeah, it's wild how much goes into a process that sounds so simple. Melt plastic, inject it, cool it. But there's so much more to it.
Right, like baking a cake, you need the right technique even with the best ingredients.
Exactly. With ABS injection molding, you need to really understand the material and how to make the molds.
So we're talking about making everything from Legos to car parts from these tiny pellets, right?
Absolutely. It's a multi-step process, and each step has to be perfect to get a good result. It starts with prepping the ABS pellets, drying them out to get rid of any moisture. Even a tiny bit of water can mess everything up later. It's like trying to build a house with wet bricks.
So drying is like making a good foundation.
Exactly. Once the pellets are dry, you set up the mold. This is where things get really interesting. You have to pick the right kind of steel for the mold, like P20 steel if you're on a budget, or 718 for a super smooth finish. And then there are these cooling channels that have to be designed perfectly to keep the temperature even. Every little detail matters because it affects the final product.
It sounds like a mix of science and engineering.
It is. And that's how manufacturers make such complex plastic parts with consistent quality, like those Lego bricks. The fact that they're mass-produced but still fit together perfectly shows how precise the mold design and process have to be.
Wow, I never thought about it like that. But why ABS? There are so many kinds of plastic out there. What makes this one so popular?
ABS is strong, tough, and has a really nice surface finish. It's also easy to work with and resists chemicals.
Like the all-star athlete of plastics.
That's a great way to put it. Compared to polyethylene, which is used for things like plastic bags, ABS is stiffer and can handle more heat, but it can also be heavier and more expensive.
So there are trade-offs.
Exactly. Now, compared to polypropylene, which you see in food containers and things, ABS has a nicer finish and it's stronger. But polypropylene is better for outdoor use.
Interesting. So it's all about picking the right material for the job.
Absolutely. And while polycarbonate is even stronger and more heat resistant than ABS, it's a lot harder to mold. So ABS is more practical for a lot of things. Polycarbonate is like the athlete with tons of potential, but ABS is the reliable worker that gets things done.
This is making me look at all the plastic around me differently.
That's what's cool about understanding materials. You see everyday objects in a new way.
Okay, so ABS is tough, versatile, easy to work with. But how does it perform during the actual injection molding process? Are there advantages there too?
One big advantage is how consistently it shrinks. When ABS cools, it shrinks in a very predictable way, usually between 0.4 and 0.7%. This makes designing the mold a lot easier because you can predict how the final part will look, and it's less likely to warp.
That makes sense. If it shrank randomly, it would be hard to make precise shapes.
Exactly. Remember how we talked about controlling the temperature during drying? Well, ABS can handle temperatures up to 100 degrees Celsius. That means it can be processed at higher temperatures than a lot of other plastics without affecting the quality.
It can take the heat?
It can, and that gives you more options during molding.
But let's be real. No material's perfect, right? What are some things to keep in mind when choosing ABS?
You're right. Everything has its limits. ABS is durable, but it can be heavier and pricier than other options. If weight or cost is really important, you might need to look at other materials.
So for a lightweight drone or a cheap toy, ABS might not be the best.
Right. And while ABS is great for a lot of things, it's not ideal for products that will be outside for a long time. It can be damaged by UV rays. So for outdoor stuff, you might want something more weather resistant, like garden furniture or playground equipment. You wouldn't want them to get brittle and crack in the sun.
This is where it gets interesting for anyone using ABS. You have to think about the material and where it will be used.
Exactly. You have to know the strengths and weaknesses of a material to make good decisions. It's like choosing the right tool. You wouldn't use a hammer to screw in a light bulb, would you?
Definitely not. So if you're listening and thinking about using ABS for a project, there are some key questions to ask. How much does weight matter? What's your budget? Will it be exposed to sunlight or weather?
Those are great starting points. By thinking about those things, you can choose the best material.
Let's move on to mold design. It's obviously super important in this whole process.
Mold design is the key to successful ABS injection molding. It affects the shape of your product, but also how efficiently and consistently you can make it. It's like the blueprint for your plastic creation.
And it seems like choosing the right mold material is the first step in making that blueprint.
You got it. We touched on this before, but it's worth diving deeper. The type of steel you use affects the cost and quality of your product. P20 steel is popular because it's affordable and works well for most things. But if you need a super smooth finish, 718 steel is the way to go. It's harder and more resistant to wear and tear, so your product will have that extra shine.
It's like choosing between a regular paintbrush and a really fine one. The tool you use determines how detailed you can get.
Exactly. And beyond the type of steel, the design of the mold itself is critical. Let's talk about those cooling systems.
Yes. Our sources emphasize how important it is to keep the mold temperature, even for quality and efficiency. So tell us more about how these cooling systems work.
Imagine channels running through the mold. Cool water flows through them like an air conditioner to keep the temperature steady during injection.
Like tiny plumbing inside the mold.
Exactly. But it's not just about having water flowing. The design of these channels is super precise. The diameter, which is usually between 8 and 12 millimeters, and the spacing, which is typically 20 to 50 millimeters, are carefully calculated. This ensures even cooling across the whole mold. And to make sure the water flow is balanced, the inlet and outlet points are symmetrical.
It's incredible how much engineering goes into something that seems so simple.
It's all about creating the perfect conditions for the ABS to cool and harden properly. That precision is what makes high-quality ABS injection molding different from one that makes inconsistent or flawed products.
Speaking of flaws, let's talk about another important element of mold design: ensuring uniform wall thickness. Our sources said this was key to preventing defects. Why is that?
Imagine a piece of plastic with really different wall thicknesses. When it cools after molding, the thicker parts cool and shrink differently than the thinner parts. This puts stress on the material, which can cause warping distortion or even cracking. It's like building a wall with different sized bricks. It's not going to be stable.
So the walls of your plastic part need to be even.
Exactly. To avoid these problems, you want a consistent wall thickness throughout your product. For ABS, a typical range is 1 to 5 millimeters, depending on the size and what the product is for. And if your design needs different thicknesses, you need to make gradual transitions between them to reduce
It's
stress.
smoothing out the edges to avoid weak points.
Exactly. It's all about creating a design that lets the ABS flow smoothly and solidify evenly. That's how you get a strong and durable product.
So every decision in mold design is a balancing act. The right material, the right cooling, the right wall thickness. It really shows how much expertise is needed for good ABS injection molding.
You're absolutely right. And even when you plan everything perfectly, things don't always go smoothly.
That's true. Have you ever seen a plastic product that was obviously messed up? Maybe it had a weird bump or a discolored spot. It's a reminder that even in a controlled factory, defects can happen.
You're right. But the good news is most common defects in ABS injection molding have specific causes. And if you understand the causes, you can learn how to prevent them.
So let's talk about some of those defects. I'm curious what can go wrong and how to fix it.
Okay, let's start with one of the most common ones, insufficient filling. This is when the melted ABS doesn't fill the mold all the way. You end up with a part that's the wrong shape or incomplete, like trying to make a cake in a pan that's too big. It'll be thin and sad.
So what causes that?
Could be a few things. Maybe the injection pressure or speed is too low, or the mold isn't hot enough so the ABS hardens too quickly. A gate that's too small can also cause it. The plastic can't flow through easily. It's like trying to squeeze toothpaste through a tiny hole.
So you need to figure out where the blockage is and make it bigger.
Exactly. You got to find the root cause and fix it. If it's the pressure or speed, you adjust the settings. If the mold's too cold, you got to heat it up. And if it's the gate, you might need to redesign that part of the mold.
That makes sense. What about those shrink marks? I've seen those little dents on plastic things before.
Yeah, shrink marks. Those happen when the ABS pulls away from the mold as it cools. Like when a chocolate bar shrinks a little as it hardens, it leaves little marks on the surface.
How do you stop that from happening?
Sometimes you can make the cooling and holding times longer. That way the ABS hardens more evenly and you're less likely to get those dents. And remember how we talked about making sure the walls are the same thickness? That's important here too. If the thickness varies a lot, you're more likely to get uneven shrinkage.
So adjusting the cooling and design can help with shrinkage. What about those wavy or streaky patterns you sometimes see? I think they're called flow marks,
I
right?
got it. Flow marks happen when the melted ABS doesn't flow smoothly into the mold, like pouring honey into a jar too fast. You get those ripples and swirls.
So you need to control the flow.
Exactly. You can often prevent them by slowing down the injection speed. That way, the flow is more even. Increasing the mold temperature can also help. It lets the ABS flow more easily, kind of like warming up honey before you pour it. And sometimes you might need a different type of ABS resin that flows better. like choosing a thinner honey.
So it's about finding the right combination of settings and materials. Now, what about those lines you sometimes see on plastic parts? It looks like the plastic didn't fuse together, right?
Those are fusion lines. They happen when two flows of melted ABS meet in the mold but don't fully meld together, like welding two pieces of metal. If the weld isn't perfect, you'll see the seam. And just like a bad weld, a fusion line can be a weak spot.
How do you avoid those?
It often comes down to where the gate is placed. Remember, the gate is where the melted ABS goes into the mold. If you have multiple gates and they're not in the right spots, you can get those fusion lines where the flows meet. You also need to make sure the injection speed is fast enough to push the flows together properly. And of course, if the mold temperature isn't even more, that can also contribute to fusion lines. So keeping that temperature consistent is key.
So it's about creating the right conditions for the ABS to flow and fuse together perfectly.
Exactly. And lastly, let's talk about warp deformation. That's when the finished product comes out bent or twisted. Imagine a cookie that warps when it bakes. Same idea here.
I've definitely seen that happen with plastic stuff before. Why does that happen?
Warping can happen for a few reasons, but it often comes down to uneven shrinkage during cooling. If different parts of the product cool and shrink at different speeds, it can pull the whole thing out of shape. Too much stress inside the material can also cause it, and so can a cooling time that's too short.
So how do you fix it?
You might need to change the design a bit to reduce those stress points. Remember those gradual transitions we talked about? Those help prevent warping too. Adjusting the settings to make sure the cooling is even can also help. And sometimes you just need to give the ABS more time to cool down. Extending the cooling time lets those stresses relax.
It's amazing how each of these defects is connected to specific things about the material, the mold, or the injection process.
It really shows how much expertise goes into making even a simple plastic product.
We've covered a lot: the process of ABS injection, molding, what makes ABS special, and even the common defects and how to fix them. But before we wrap up, I want to go back to something you mentioned before: understanding material properties. Why is that so important, not just for engineers, but for everyone?
That's a great question. In a world full of plastic, knowing about the materials in our stuff helps us make better choices. It helps us understand the design, the manufacturing, and the limits of the things we use. For example, if you know ABS doesn't like sunlight, you might think twice about leaving that ABS toy outside all summer.
Makes sense.
And knowing the pros and cons of ABS compared to other plastics could help you choose a phone case or a food container.
So it's about being more informed consumers, not just using these plastic things without thinking, but understanding what they're made of and why.
Exactly. And it's not just about individual choices either. As we learn more about plastics, it can create demand for more sustainable materials and manufacturing.
That's a good point. It all comes back to the choices we make.
Absolutely. And it starts with knowledge. The more we know, the better decisions we can make.
So where can our listeners go to learn more? I know there's a ton of info out there, but it can be hard to know where to start.
There are some great resources online. Groups that focus on plastics, engineering, and manufacturing often have educational stuff on their websites. You can also find articles and videos that explain specific parts of injection molding.
And of course, we'll put links to some of those resources in the show notes.
That's a great idea. And beyond the technical stuff, I think it's cool to just look around and notice the ABS things in our lives. Your keyboard, your phone case, parts of your car, it's everywhere.
It really is. It's amazing to think about how they're made, from little pellets to the finished product.
It shows how creative and precise modern manufacturing is, and it's always changing. As new technologies come out and sustainability becomes more important, the world of ABS injection molding is adapting and innovating.
Well, I think we've covered just about everything in this deep dive: the basics of ABS injection molding, the pros and cons, the challenges, and even the future. And it all comes back to this idea of learning, adapting, and always trying to improve.
I totally agree. Manufacturing is always changing. It's driven by innovation, sustainability, and wanting to make things that meet the needs of society. And as we've seen, even a simple plastic toy or car part has a complex and interesting story.
So to our listeners, we encourage you to keep exploring, keep asking questions, and keep being amazed by the cool stuff around us, even in everyday objects. You never know what you'll discover on your next deep dive.
Until next time, happy exploring.
Thanks for joining us. Talking about all these problems and how to fix them, it makes me think about something we haven't really talked about: quality control.
Yeah, that's a good point. We've talked about the ideal way to do things, but in reality, keeping the quality consistent is more than just knowing the theory.
Right. Like a recipe for chocolate chip cookies. You can have the ingredients and the baking time, But if you don't measure carefully or check the oven, you might burn them.
Exactly. And with ABS injection molding, those mistakes can be a lot bigger than burnt cookies. You could waste material energy time, not to mention the cost of making bad products.
So how do manufacturers make sure every part meets the standards? What does good quality control look like?
It's all about documentation and process control. Imagine a checklist for every single step, from the moment those ABS pellets get to the factory to the final inspection.
So you're taking that detailed approach and applying it everywhere.
Right. Every variable has to be controlled. Every setting has to be monitored. Think about those injection settings we talked about. The pressure, the speed, the temperature. They all have to be within a specific range to get a good result.
And I bet technology is a big part of that. Sensors and automated systems that can track those things in real time.
Absolutely. Modern injection molding machines have really advanced control systems. They track tons of variables. Imagine a dashboard that shows you the mold temperature, the pressure, the speed, the cooling time all at once.
That would be so useful. Especially if something goes wrong, you can catch it early.
Exactly. And with things like Industry 4.0 and the Internet of Things, we're seeing even more automation and data in manufacturing. You can monitor things in real time, do predictive maintenance, and constantly improve the process.
So it's not just following instructions. You're using data to get better all the time.
Right. It's about creating a system where you learn from every batch and make the next one even better.
I think that's a great way to wrap up this deep dive into ABS injection molding. We've talked about how it works, the advantages, the challenges, and even what's next for this process. And it all comes down to learning, adapting, and always striving for the best.
I completely agree. The world of manufacturing is always changing. It's driven by innovation, sustainability, and the need to create products that meet society's needs. And as we've seen today, even something as simple as a plastic toy or car part has a fascinating story behind it.
To our listeners, we encourage you to keep learning, keep asking questions, and keep being amazed by the ingenuity that's all around us, even in the simplest things. You never know what you'll find on your next deep dive.
Until next time, keep exploring.
Thanks for joining us.